I think that would have to be one of my favourite parashas. Because it has in it the Shema, it has in it the Ten Commandments, it has it in it, has in it all the things that we need. And I think it's an amazing parasha. So as for my message today, Yehovah made it very clear to Moshe that he would fulfill everything he promised. And he did when they went into the promised land. So I've titled my message, Yehovah Will Not Disappoint You If You Find Him. And I'm taking it out of Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 29 to 36. But from there you shall seek Yehovah your Elohim, and you shall find him, when you search for him with all your heart and with all your being. In your distress, when all these words shall come upon you in the latter days, then you shall return to Yehovah your Elohim and shall obey his voice. I believe at this stage we are in the latter days. For Yehovah your Elohim is a compassionate El. He does not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your father which he swore to them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you since the day that Elohim created man on the earth, and ask from one end of the heavens to the other end of the heavens, whether there has been a word as great as this, or has been heard like it. Has a people heard the voice of Elohim speaking out in the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live? Or has Elohim tried to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of a nation by trials and by signs and by wonders, and by battle, and by a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and by great fearsome deeds, according to all that Yehovah your Elohim did for you in Mitzrayim before your eyes? You have seen it, you have been shown it, to know that Yehovah himself is Elohim. There is no one beside him. From the heavens let you hear his voice to instruct you, and on the earth he showed you his great fire, as you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. You know, during our time as believers, we begin to realize that each of us are intended to be ministers in some manner. Moshe was the minister to the people of Israel because of what Yehovah's hand did for him. So we seek to fulfill those ministries for Yehovah. But in our seeking, it can almost be an instinctive reaction to seek the arm or flesh to help, to trust in man to see our ministries fulfilled. And that is a grave error. In Tehillim, Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9, it says, it's better to take refuge in Yehovah than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in Yehovah than to trust in princes. And in Mishlei, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, trust in Yehovah with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Know him in all your ways, and it is he who will make your path straight. We don't need to look to man to make our ministry complete. We don't need to look to man to make our ministry happen. Some people may look to people who are influential in their minds because they think maybe they can pull some strings for them and pull some ropes to get them where they want to be. It's like thinking we have to know the right people in order to have success in ministry. This is how the world works. This is how people climb the corporate ladder. And so they try and bring that into the messianic community to have their ministry needs fulfilled. But it doesn't work like that in the kingdom of Yehovah. Notice this aspect of ministries that I've said so many times before, because every believer, everyone listening online, everyone sitting in the room, no matter how young, no matter how old, has a ministry of some sort. It's amazing what little children can do and say that can lead some people into the kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "From whom the entire body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the workings by which each part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Every joint, every little joint in our body has something to supply. When it doesn't, it looks like my finger, bent, and you can't straighten it because that joint doesn't work anymore. Every member of this Knesset, this assembly, has a part to play. And it's not by your fleshly talents that you will accomplish it, but rather by the effectual working out of Yehovah's Ruach within you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 27 to 30, it says, "You are a body of the Messiah and members individually. And Elohim has appointed these in the assembly, first emissaries, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, ministrations, kinds of tongues." Are all emissaries? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? Probably not. And do all interpret? Certainly not. So that we need each and every one of you, because each and every one of you that have those gifts are needed in this Knesset. So I'm sure that when you look at this list, you will see where your gifting is in Yehovah. I'm sure he will show you by just reading what is up there where you sit. I am not an emissary in the true sense of the word, but it is one of Minister Malachy's giftings. While he does not have the gift of teaching or have the gift of healing as I do, he certainly has the gift of helps and the gifts of ministrations. And without his gift of helps and ministrations, this assembly wouldn't function. I went to Bible college in 1988, but I was told if I ever remarried, then I would never be granted any ministry in the church. This was regardless of the fact that I had not committed an offence or broken Yah's word, and regardless of the abuse that I'd lived through those previous 25 years. Regardless of what was said, I actually married Malachy in 1990 and trusted Yah to allow me to serve him. I always wanted to serve him behind the scenes. It was nothing that I ever desired was to be up here teaching. But Yah's ways aren't our ways. It is he who gives the giftings, and it is he who provides the situation. I didn't need man to get me to this position. He will always provide the situation to arise for you to use your giftings and to use whatever he has given you to minister to others. The key is in the learning to forget those attempts to get people to get your ministry going and to seek Yehovah and not man. Take man completely out of it. Just trust in Yehovah. And it's like all things in life, not just in ministry, but whether it's seeking a husband or a wife. I was not looking for a husband when Malachy came into my life, even though it had been prophesied to me that year that I would marry. I hadn't met him, but I was told I would marry him within that year. that Yah was providing a husband for me. I didn't know what to look for in a husband. I certainly knew what I didn't want in a husband. Been down that road, I really wasn't in a hurry to do it again. So I got with Yah, and I asked him to show me what he wanted for me. That to me was what was important, because I wanted a man who would serve me with Yehovah. So I ended up writing down 30 points. And then Yah spoke to me very clearly in his audible voice. And he said, if you settle for 29 of those, you're settling for second best. Well, Malachi did come into my life that year, and we did marry that year. But the point is that Malachi not only met the whole 30, but he had more that I hadn't even thought of. Because Yah gives us abundantly when we seek him with all our heart. And we seek him according to his will and not ours. So the key to what you are desiring in your ministry, yourself, for yourself, in your family, Yehovah will be, the seeking in Yehovah will be spending time in daily prayer. Much of the time you pray is getting your faith in yourself that Yah is going to make everything all right. Until you get that confidence and that faith, you should never stop praying. And when you pray, you pray his word, you pray his promises. Get into his word, find what his promises are for you, and pray them into being. Then, when you know, like you know, like you know, that you've done all you can do, that's when you start thanking him. Thank you for my ministry. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for whatever it is. Thank you for the child that I want. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can see it. I believe it. Because when you say it, that settles it. And then you use his scriptures again to pray his scriptures in thanks to him for who he is and what he has done for you and what he has promised you. But you have to keep praying. You must never stop praying. Pray until you get it. Push through until something happens. Yah will give you the breakthrough, because I know that for a fact. Not only has he given me the breakthrough in my prayers over many years, but one of his names is El Perazim. And El Perazim means God of the breakthrough. You pray that into being. I need a breakthrough. You are El Perazim. Your word promises me that. And when you are convinced, Yehovah has heard you and all the scriptures you have gone through and your mind encouraging you through them, when you are finished, as I said, thank him till it comes to fruition. Sometimes we really have to wrestle or struggle through a situation before the breakthrough comes. And we read that in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 to 31. Yaakov was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he did not overcome him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Yaakov's hip was dislocated as he wrestled with him. And he said to me, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I am not letting you go until you have blessed me. So he asked him, what is your name? And he replied, Yaakov. And he said, your name is no longer Yaakov, but Yisrael, because you have striven with Elohim and with men and have overcome. And Yaakov asked him, saying, please let me know your name. And he said, why do you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. And Yaakov called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen Elohim face to face, and my life is preserved. Panim is face. Peniel is the face to face with Yah. And the sun rose on him as he passed over Peniel, and he limped in his hip. Do you know why Yaakov's name was changed to Israel and to not another name? El is short for Elohim, and Israel means to strive with El. That's what it means. Israel, Isra, strive with El. Then to rule with El. This is something that caught hold of my Ruach many years ago. I always felt doubly blessed that I was born Tamar Bat Yaakov. Even though on my birth certificate it says Arkov, not Yaakov, because they got the spelling wrong. They left off the Y. So it just had double A-K-O-V. Both my sons and my grandsons. So, of course, Yaakov means is the English phrase James. And the book of James is my favourite book. But James is also in the names of both my sons and my grandsons. And, of course, the English version of Yaakov is James. When Yaakov met Yehovah that fateful night, he wrestled there alone until the morning light. He won a princely title to gird him for the right to serve Yah. What I want the kind of blessing, and I'm sure you do as well. I know before my own father died that I wanted him to bless me. To me, it was important that I got that blessing. And I did get it. And he said to me that, and my father was a very strict man. When he said jump, you said how high? And so he ruled his household with fear. So we feared him more than we loved him as children. But he gave me a blessing, and he told me in that blessing that I was always different from the rest of the children in the family, but he knew that I was set apart for Yah. And I couldn't want a better blessing than that, and I will never forget it. You see, I prayed until I got the breakthrough in many things. But I trusted Yah completely for each and everything. I don't know that any one of my other siblings got a blessing. I doubt if they did. But I know that I got one because I desired one. I had to let go of the fleshly hindrances of impatience and discouragement and giving up. We all have to make up our mind that our place is in the kingdom of Yehovah is more important than our job, our career, our ministry, or anything else. When impatience screams at you and you want to give up, forget about it. You need to remember the promises of Yah and how that will come about. And once again, from my favourite Ketuvei HaShelachim writer, apart from the Gospels, the book of Yaakov tells us, in Yaakov James 5:16b, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If we never give up, our prayers will be answered. Our prayers will be powerful and affected if we cry out to Yehovah from deep within our spirit. We need to fight through the flesh. We also need to fight the impatience. Yehovah's timing is perfect. We need to have the patience to wait for his perfect timing to bring into being what our heart desires. Remember that Yaakov's thigh was put out of joint in the ordeal of his wrestling. When he broke through, he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. That was certainly a reminder to him that he wrestled with Yah. It is not Yehovah we have to break, it is our flesh. Yehovah is there with you when you are in prayer and so willing for his will to be done. You have to pray for his will be done. However, your flesh has all sorts of quirks and traits you must break through in order to get his will done. We are now in a period of prayer and fasting, but that does not earn you anything in form of marks of brownie points from Yehovah. It's the ultimate purpose to get you to... I'll get it out. Its ultimate purpose is to get your hindering flesh out of the way. That is why we pray and fast. I learned this lesson over 50 years ago, that if you look to people for your rewards in life, make a note of this, people will disappoint you. You can't look to man. People will always disappoint you. Even the person you love the most on this earth can disappoint you. People are not your God. People are only flesh and bone. So you have to go directly to the source and get hold of Yehovah. When you get hold of Yah, you simply do not have to worry about your ministry or purpose in the kingdom of Yehovah being fulfilled. People may try what they can to do to help you. However, they cannot change your circumstances. People can actually hinder your efforts. Circumstances can trip them up as well as you. But when you get hold of Yah, nobody can stop him from doing his will. Yehovah will bulldoze through any hindrances that may exist. Once again, I was once prophesied over a visiting ministry from USA, and I was told I was a bulldozer. I would never give up and pray through every circumstance until I had the breakthrough. I'd never seen myself as a bulldozer before, but this person said it doesn't matter how big the wall is and how strong the wall is, you will break through because that's who you are. And it was true, but I'd never seen myself that way. I'm probably the smallest bulldozer that ever existed in man's eyes, but not in Yah's. Yehovah can and does change circumstances. If the very law of physics says that something cannot be done, then Yehovah can make it happen anyway. Yah caused the sun to stand still when Yehoshua prayed for more time to finish the fight as the day was closing. Yah took Gideon and 300 men and defeated an entire army with clay jars, trumpets and torches. In 2 Chronicles 14:8 to 22, it says, "And Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Yehudah, bearing shields and spears, and from Binyamin 280,000 men, bearing shields and drew bows. All of them were mighty brave men. And Zerah, the Cushi, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Marashah. And Asa went out against him. And they set battle in array at the valley of Zephatah at Marashah. And Asa called to Yehovah his Elohim and said, 'Yehovah, there is no one but you to help between the mighty and the powerless. Help us, O Yehovah our Elohim, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this crowd. O Yehovah, you are our Elohim. Do not let man prevail against you.' So Yehovah smote the Cushim before Asa and Yehuda, and the Cushim fled." But man can look back to flesh after having sought Yah, as we read previously. In 2 Chronicles, two chapters down, in 16 verses 7 to 9, it says, "At that time, Hanani the seer came to ask Asa, king of Yehuda, and said to him, 'Because you have relied on the king of Aram and not relied on Yehovah your Elohim, therefore any army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were the Cushim and the Luvim not a mighty army with very many chariots and horsemen? And because you relied on Yehovah, he gave them into your hand. For the eyes of Yehovah diligently searched throughout all the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect in him. So you have acted foolishly in this, so from now on you shall have battles. Unless we keep rest in to Yehovah, we will have battles. We have to stay united with him.'" And in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 12 to 13, it says, "And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his disease was severe. Yet even in his disease he did not seek Yehovah, but the physicians. So Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign." Even Moshe tried to deliver Israel in his own strength and slew an Egyptian slave, and then ran in fear when Pharaoh found out. But when 40 years went by, he saw Yehovah at the burning bush. Yah finally got his message through to Moshe. Sometimes Yah needs to get that message through to us, as well as us get through to him. Sometimes we are looking for his will in all the wrong places and going after it through all the wrong efforts. When you go through all the wrong means because you're depending upon people to see your ministry through, or you get discouraged when people do not come through for you, if Minister Malachi or myself had only done this for me or that, you have to forget about waiting for us to lay hands on you and Yah's will out for you. You need to get hold of Yah for yourself. We are here to encourage you, to hold you up, and to help you. But we're also here to teach you and speak to you about the faithfulness and the commitment that Yah needs, that your flesh is simply going to try to avoid. When it's all said and done, Yehovah is the one you go to and seek for his will. Nothing can stop Yah from doing what he wants. People cannot stop you. Even Hasatan cannot stop him from giving you what his will desires for you. Hasatan wants to keep you seeking the arm of flesh rather than Yehovah. Flesh is no problem for Yehovah, for Hasatan. He can deal with that easy enough. However, he cannot deal with Yehovah's power. My Yah opened up the sea for Israel to escape. My Yah sent the manna from heaven and water from the rock, as well as berries from ravens, as for Eliyahu, when there was no food for him to eat and water to drink. My Yah will use people, but often the last person you expect to or imagine will be the one that goes ahead to help you. Who would think that Yah would use a harlot in Jericho to help Israel's spies check out the city? No one. I know that this time, that I'm praying for a breakthrough, and there are people here that I'm praying for a breakthrough for, according to circumstances in your life, as well as a breakthrough in this very increasing COVID outbreak and the increase of lockdowns, as well as the increase of commercials for the jab. I also know that the more I quote scripture to Yah in my prayer time, the more my own flesh rises higher and higher for a breaking through to come about. I also think about how nothing and nobody can stop Yah. It is his kingdom purpose that needs to be worked out through this. Yaakov and his wrestle with Yah is constantly going through my mind as well. I know that Yah's will in my life was more important and is more important than anything else. Hasatan gets scared when you think thoughts like that and will use Yah's word against him. We all need to be so full of faith that we know, like we know, like we know, that Yah will meet our minds and when we hear, and we will hear from him. The scripture has often got hold of me, this scripture has often got hold of me while I've been praying. And it's from Mark 11, 23 to 24. For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says shall be done, he shall have whatever he says. Because of this I say to you, whatever you ask when you pray, believe you've received them, and you shall have them. The key is believing. Believing after you've prayed. You can let your flesh have its way with this impatience and leaning upon other people to do your praying for you. But it really just avoids the real effort of seeking faith for yourself. It becomes easy to point to people when people whom you trusted to see Yah's will done will fail you. You can blame them now and forever. Amen. But the real problem is you. You just need to seek Yah for yourself. If you think nobody trusts you to give you a break in the Knesset, nobody sees anything in you, seek Yah. We try to recognize ministries if we know that there's one. We try to allow people to run prayer meetings and to Shabbat dinners and whatever they want to do. We want to encourage them in everything that their ministry calls them to do. But we do have our own ministries as well. If you would seek Yah, then Yah will make it very evident to the congregation that you have this or that ministry. He will break through of all the doubts, and he knows what to do to let everyone know about it. Just stop looking at flesh in your advancement in the kingdom of Yah. Flesh cannot help you. Seek Yah. And when you have broken through and sought Yah, flesh cannot hinder you either. This goes for your whole messianic walk. You can complain you are not where you are or where you want to be with Yah because of what people said or did. Get hold of Yah, because nobody can stop you, no matter what they say or do. It doesn't matter what other people say or do. That's none of your business. That's between them and Yah. You have to trust Yah for yourself. No matter what your ministry is, whether it's an evangelist, a prophet, a teacher, a worker of miracles, we certainly need some of them. We certainly need some of them at the present time. Having the gift to lay hands on the sick and see them healed, and you'd like to use these gifts within the Knesset, let me know. I'll give you the opportunity to use them anytime. People are already operating in their ministries in daily lives. Some are evangelizing on the streets through Yah giving the opportunity to witness to people in their sphere of influence. Others work in hospital ministries. Some work in prison ministries. Others in the ordinary secular work are able to minister up to others in different ways. Yehovah will not disappoint you if you seek him with all your heart and not give up until you have found him. If you like, I'm happy to pray for you at the end of the service if you need to pray to have your ministry come to fruition. So is there any questions? We'll move on to the remembrance service. Yes.
Just something I noticed in the Torah portion. A lot of New Testament people will say that it's about reading the law written on your heart, and that's all the New Testament. But we just saw in the Torah portion today, Moses was talking about it being on our heart, inscribed in our heart and on our hands. So it's like it's never changed. It's always been that way. But people don't seem to read that. They don't seem to understand that it was always supposed to be on our hearts from the beginning.
It was always meant to be on our hearts and in our mind.
Yeah.
Okay, that's our head. It doesn't have to, when it says written on your head, that means it's in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that you've got to put phylacteries on the top of your head. That's not going to help anything if you're not reading what's in there.
Yeah.
But it's in your mind. The more you read the word, the more it's in your mind. The more you can recall it when you need it. Because there may be a time when we are banned from having computers, when we're banned from reading Bibles, when we're reading, you know, we don't know yet what tribulations we are to follow. But the Torah in the New Testament has been classed as the law. And the law is totally different to Torah. Torah, within the word Torah, is the word Or. Or is light. Yehovah's light. And his light is what's shining on us through his word, and his Torah is his instructions to bring us into the light of his kingdom. Yes, we need Yeshua. I'm not denying that. We have to have Yeshua because he and the Father are one, and no one can come to the Father except through Yeshua. But we also need the Torah and his light within us, not the laws of man. And that's the difference.
Yeah,
does that answer your question?
Yeah, because it also says in there that you're supposed to put on the doorposts of your house, and it's like it's supposed to be infused in every aspect of your life, you know, what you do.
What is put on the doorposts is a Shema.
Yeah.
Which is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Yah, the Lord is one.
Yeah.
We are saying that there is only one God. There is only one God. The only reason, you put them on your house, and I've got them at the entrances and exits of my house, and it's there to remind you that he is in control of this house. Just like if you go into my upper room, I have an upper room in my home. I have a two-story home, but as you go into the upstairs and you walk down towards the upper room, which is what I call the upper room, it actually has a staircase on the door. It looks as if you're going up the stairs. And it's my guest room. In my guest room, I have the saying out of Yehoshua that me and my house will serve Yehovah, no one else. And any guest that stays in my house sees that. It's in their face. And it's because that's who Malachim I serve. He is prominent in our lives. He is the first person we speak to in our lives, in our morning, apart from saying good morning to each other. And so it's how we live and how we trust him for everything in our lives. And without the Torah, it's nothing. The Torah is the absolute foundation upon which the rest of the Tanakh and the Ketuvei HaShelekim is built. Without the Torah, we have nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because that is Yehovah's word. And I think that is one of the reasons why I like this parasha. Because one, it has the 10 mitzvot. Two, it has the Shema. And what more do we need? They are the essence of our life. To live according to his 10 mitzvot, and to say that Shema morning and night. Get it into our hearts morning and night. It's the last thing I say before I go to sleep. Every night. It's just been a practice of mine for many, many years. Because I need him to know that if I'm not going to wake up in the morning, I have said his name and that he is the only one in my life before I went to meet him. That's just who I am. I'm sorry, I suppose I'm a bit of a ritualist, but that's how I live my life. I can't live it any other way.
You shouldn't apologise for something like that.
You know, I can't live it any other way. I couldn't live my life without him. Ask Malachi.